Return to the Lord. Those are the words echoed, as it's echoing here, echoed on Ash Wednesday when we first began this period of the church that we call Lent. Return to the Lord. Now, this is not just a command, but it's also an invitation. Return. Return to the Lord. Because he wants to be in a relationship with you. It's an invitation, and it's an opportunity for us to really focus on what does it mean for us to be called a Christian, a believer, a follower of Christ. Now, again, the call to return to the Lord means that something happened where we're away from the Lord. We've turned away from him. How do we return? We remember to turn and see. Turn and see the various ways in which our Lord has given an invitation, a free gift to us. Today we focus on another word. Last week we heard about the account of Abraham offering up his only son Isaac after a long-awaited time of never having ability to have children. He has one son by his wife, Sarah, and then God calls him to willingly sacrifice him. And Abraham's willing to go through the motions to have the faith to do it. And in a split second, God stops him because his faith was tested and true. We talked about that being the plan of God. The plan of God all along from the beginning to model sacrifice and how we see that truly in Jesus. But today, we actually go back in time. Oftentimes in the church, we go sometimes chronologically. We go back in time today. We go back maybe 15 years or so, 12 years. Abraham is actually Abram at this point. His name has not been changed yet. And he's 99 years old. 99 years old, and God reminds him of a promise that he would still have that son. Now, to appreciate this, it's been 13 years already passed since Ishmael was born. Ishmael was actually a son born by Abram and a different woman. You see, back when Abram was 75 years old, pretty old by those standards still, God first called him and said, hey, Abram, you're going to be a nation, and you're going to be a great nation. I want you to move from your country to where I'm giving you now, and out of your family, I'm going to build kings, nations, people. You're going to be having so many people follow after you that they won't be able to be counted. 75 years old. He waits. He's okay, this is a great promise, Lord. He waits. After about 10, 15 years, God's silent. Seems like God forgot about his promise. So Abram decides to put things in his own hands. He's like, okay, well, Sarah is unable to have children, but I know Sarah has a handmaiden, a servant girl named Hagar. Maybe she'll be able to have kids, and maybe we'll have this family. Maybe it's our will to make it happen to have kids so that God's promise will be fulfilled. So Abram has a child out of his normal marriage with Sarai, and out of that relationship is born Ishmael. Ishmael was a son, but not the son that he'd be hoping for. Eventually, this son, Ishmael, will become the desert dwellers of modern-day Arabia, but not the modern-day Jews, not the chosen people. It's been 13 years since that child, Ishmael, had been born, and years apparently without any further divine intervention again from God. What's God doing? He gave me a promise. But now it's been 24 years since that first day that God told Abraham that he would have a promise, that out of his ancestors, out of his lineage, out of his descendants, would be a savior. Now, humanly speaking, every shred of hope that maybe Abram ever had was becoming a parent was pretty much gone. 24 years, you have to wait in order to have a child. For a lot of us, if we tried doing that, we would be far past the ability of having a child. Maybe in your 20s, you decide, we're going to have children, we're going to start a family. By the time you're 50, that promise never really paid off. You're ready to retire at that point, not start a family. It's been 24 years for Abram. And God owns up on a promise. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God Almighty. Not just the Lord, but the God, the Lord Almighty, the one that has power over nature. I am the one who created all things, and I'm the one speaking to you right now, so listen up. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and may multiply you greatly. No longer shall your name be called Abram. Now again, in Hebrew, this word Abram means an everlasting father, a high exalted father. Now if you think about it that way, it's just ironic. His name is father, but yet he can't have kids. And so when God makes a promise, when God makes a relationship with somebody, things happen. He changes names. Just like when you were baptized into Christ, you were given a new name, not your name, but Christian. And so, when the Lord makes this promise, he cuts a covenant with Abram. He calls him not Abram, but Abraham. For you will be a father of many. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and that even kings will come from your family line. And we know that promise took some time too. He had to wait another year for that actual promise to be fruitful, for their son Isaac to be born. And so we think about all these periods in his life where God gives a promise and just fills his life with waiting. And that reminded me of a quote. Our father in faith, Martin Luther, once said, it's God's way to empty a man first before filling him with his blessing. Oftentimes it feels like we're drained of anything we've got, our strength, our hope, our desires, before we're ready to be molded. You ever felt like that? Where you just been knocked down straight to the ground. You don't have a dime to your name. You don't have anything but a hope to have a promise in. And it's that point where you really realize what you have all along. When we have everything taken away from us, when we're down to the bare bones, that's when God loves to work. For me, I see that very clearly when up here giving a sermon, not just on a Sunday morning, but at a funeral service. When we've been knocked down of our pride to know that we can do whatever we want as long as we live, when we've been knocked down of maybe the great moments of life, when life gets really real, that's when our hearts are open, finally, to realize that it's God's time to fill. That happened to Abram. Years and years and years of waiting. And he had nothing to really hope or stand on until finally God spoke once more again. Reminded him of that promise earlier and kept on reminding him of that promise. Martin Luther continued, I have held many things in my hands and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. For us in life, in a very fast-paced day and age where everything is available by a click of the mouse, You can have any movie you want on demand on Netflix. You can look up any detail on Google. And you can have all the things built in your life. You can make it. You can have a great house, a great home, a great family, a great job, a great car. But all those things can be taken away just like that. And when those times happen, we remember that it's the possession of the knowledge of salvation that we always can hold on to. And Jesus said the same. Today in our gospel lesson, the disciples weren't quite getting it. They heard about the stories rambling around the villages. Jesus was performing miracles of healing and teaching and food. And they're like, who is this guy? Is he John the Baptist come back from the dead? Is it Elijah from the Old Testament revealing himself in a different way again? Maybe he's a new kind of prophet. Peter speaks up, you are the Christ. You are the anointed one. And Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What is your cross to take up this Lent? What are the burdens that we have in life? And there are some. Just because we are Christian doesn't mean life is easy. In fact, sometimes it's the opposite. If you ever heard in a church that because you're a Christian, you're going to get wealth, health, and prosperity, they are dead wrong. Sometimes a Christian is hard. You know what? That's a good thing, because if we can live through the hard times of life, we can be a witness to so many people out in the world when they're going through the same thing too. And they can see that we can overcome it with the help of our trust and faith in God. So what is your cross to take up? What is that burden that we have in life to carry with us? Take it up and deny yourself. None of us have it together. We might look good and pretty on Sunday morning, but the rest of the week gets kind of a drawn out. How can you deny yourself today? What are some things that maybe you can decide to give up? Some things that maybe aren't beneficial to your life. Things that are just the wants rather than the needs. And when you think of those things, follow Jesus. And remember his promise to Abram. God made a covenant with Abram. Covenant's a fancy Hebrew word that means to actually strike up a deal, to cut a deal. And in fact, it's quite similar to maybe what you've maybe seen or maybe back in childhood age. Remember, anybody ever done like a blood brother sort of thing where you maybe cut your hand and then another buddy of yours cuts their hand and you make a handshake and your blood is the same? In modern days today, that would be very unclean, right? We'd be freaking out over stuff like that, mixing blood. People used to do that and call themselves blood brothers. That's what a covenant is. God cuts a deal between himself and another person. It's a binding contract in blood in which God places himself under obligation to Abram. You see, oftentimes we are called to own up to what God wants for us, but in a contract covenant, God welcomes us to call upon himself to own up to his promise. God himself put himself under obligation to own up on this promise to Abram, that he would have a future lineage that would be numerous as the sand on the seashore. And it would take a long time for that promise to be owned up, right? Almost 25 years for that promised son, Isaac, to be born. But it happened. And we are living proof that it happened because you and I are descendants of Abraham. Whether or not we are of Jewish descent, we are descendants in faith of the first faith of Abraham. And we know on the other side of the spectrum that it would take a long time for God to own up on his promise. For Abraham, it would take a couple thousand years for that promised Savior to be born. It's been a couple thousand years since he has been born. And guess what? His promise is still here. We still have the promise of Jesus in our life. And it might be a couple thousand years till he comes back again, but it doesn't matter. The promise is still the same. Whether we live or whether we die, we are in the promised covenant relationship with our Lord. So when life is hard and cruel, and maybe we have those crosses to burden ourselves with, we can remember God put us in a binding relationship in his own blood. We are blood brothers with our own Savior and friend, Jesus Christ. And that's a bond that cannot be taken away. Whether or not you might be waiting for a child, whether or not you might be waiting for God to own up on a promise today, whether or not we might be waiting for Jesus to finally come back so and we can enjoy salvation for eternity, remember that you have the promise of God. The promise and the welcome command and the invitation to follow me. So today, return to the Lord and follow Jesus Christ. Please pray with me. Dear Lord God, thank you for all the promises that you fill our lives with. The promise to never leave us, to never forsake us. The promise that we are yours and that there isn't anything great or small that can separate us from your love, not even death itself. And you've given us the promise that even if we leave this world, we have the promise of resurrection and life everlasting with you. Thank you for this promise. And help me, Lord, hold dear to that promise and remind myself today as I follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus I pray. Amen.